Broken Bulbs is a proud member of the Create Fine and is presented by Williams Redlich.
Truth be told, if I'd have taken a little bit of time to look at not just the opportunities but the obstacles, I'd have probably foreseen what was going to happen.
Alex Williams here to welcome you back to Broken Bulbs, the show for entrepreneurs, creators, and builders who need to keep it real. Today I'm joined by Lee Chambers. Now, get this. Lee is a psychologist and life coach, helping people reach their well-being goals by taking a look at the person as a whole. He's also an entrepreneur who regularly appears on podcasts and in other media. But Lee, after the success he saw with his first business, decided to expand. Unfortunately, he was only looking at the opportunities and not the obstacles in his way. That's coming up after the break. Broken Bulbs is the newest podcast from Mecco Radio. And since we're new, we're still needing to grow. One of the biggest ways that you can help us do that is by leaving a review. It's simple, it's free, and you can do it right from your phone while you're listening to the podcast. You can go to ratethispodcast.com/bulbs or use the first link in the show notes to take you straight to Podchaser. Thanks for listening, and thanks for leaving a review. Now, on to the show. Lee Chambers, ready to talk about one of your broken bulbs?
Oh yeah, it smashed.
So let's talk about the VG Box business. Can you set this up? What was this business? What was the idea behind it? And then ultimately, I guess, how was it a failure?
Yeah, so in 2008, I set up a video game business and it was born of desperation of losing my graduate job in the economic crash. So that business, I was in the right place at the right time in many ways, and it took off. It went up to six figures before the end of the first year. It doubled in revenue for the first 3 years. And then all of a sudden, I was like, right, I've got a new idea for a business. I want to produce an offshoot of my current business and wanted to basically create a video game subscription box business. And the problem is that naturally, having had a successful business, it narrows your view because you've not broken any bulbs yet. You've not stood in any holes, and everything had worked for me so far. What that actually meant is I then designed this business in a very similar way to the business that I had, except it had fundamental differences. What actually happened is, again, the timing was really, really absorbent. It was a time when people were starting to look at video game merchandise and be willing to actually spend some money. And it was around that time as well, the start of the surprise element in video games. So, you know, the loot crate, the DLC, it's very at the start of that. And, you know, naturally, I've got a psychological background as well. So I was understanding that how people could be hooked into this kind of thing. So the idea was great. Timing was right. The execution was executing in the same way as the previous business. Unfortunately, and so many people will possibly face this bulb in their life, it doesn't always work the second time you do something, because success can really blind you. And most of the time, things don't replicate that simple. Otherwise, people would go through their whole lives replicating what they did once when it was a success, and everything would just work. And it's so easy to be blindsided. So I set this business up and it actually took off like a rocket. And I was like, whoa, you know, so many orders, like I'm struggling to, you know, supply and fulfill this. Not realizing that actually this was a significant variation on what I was already doing. So in terms of the licensing for the merchandise, I didn't have the finance to license every individual piece. In fact, I only had enough finance to license two divisions of what I was doing. Having seen how this took off and then finding that all of a sudden people on forums were talking about it, a significant size competitor, a company that's over 100 times bigger than I was, decided to take the idea and run with it in a licensed fashion. And because I hadn't had that forward thinking, because I'd just been like, oh, well, it worked the first time. I'm just going to, again, execute the idea and not actually take a step back and really plan that if this was going to work, how I was going to protect my intellectual property. Because all of a sudden, I had intellectual property. So my original business is video game wholesaling. So I didn't have any intellectual property to, you know, look after. I didn't have any significant systems. A lot of it is relationship based between the bigger suppliers and the smaller e-tails and retails you source into. Now, all of a sudden, I've gone from B2B to B2C, but also significantly changing the fact that I was offering a service that was continual, so subscription, but also featured a lot of licensed products that I was then effectively in response to the license for. So what actually happened is it took off like a rocket, and then the competitor released the same thing with a significant sized advertising and marketing budget and licensed products, which simply put me back to square one within a couple of months. So it took off like a rocket, and then I literally fell back to earth screaming. And again, in so many ways, that's an experience that's now shaped the way that I see things in the future. But the real big powerful lesson is that so often when something works in life, we want to do it like that again because it worked. And yet I learned more from that 6 month period than I did from 10 years of successful business in another business. And there is no way you can accelerate learning other than to fail, look at it objectively and pick apart what happened. There are your lessons. There's your growth. And there is what you can, you know, leverage to understand and become a bigger person.
With this happening, I mean, obviously, you know, you see the success. You had one success already, and then you're jumping into another success so soon after. And then what is it that you would do differently to have made this business succeed instead of just jumping right into it and doing it exactly the same way? Because obviously, I think there are a lot of serial entrepreneurs out there, people who like trying different ideas and trying out different things. And like you said, if it worked for this one, why wouldn't it work for this? How many people look at McDonald's model and say, well, it works for McDonald's, so why wouldn't it work for what I'm doing? So how do you make sure that you're not doing that you're actually doing something that will be a success on its own?
Yeah, Alex, and I just think it's very much a case of when you're starting something new, just to take a step back and just plan it and be a bit more strategic and just do a bit more research into what you're going into and actually start to look at the obstacles as well, because so often when you've got this new idea, you look at the opportunities because you want to look at the opportunities. But truth be told, if I'd have taken a little bit of time to look at not just the opportunities but the obstacles, I'd have probably foreseen what was going to happen, and I'd be able to not only in some ways preempt that but probably protect myself from it happening. And so often we overthink things. Like, I think for some people, they would be like, ready, 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 aim. They'd be like the archer who never fired. But sometimes entrepreneurs can be the archer who's constantly firing arrows everywhere, but he just can't see his target very clearly because he's just not taken that step back and just cleared the scope to go. And I feel that there's a balance to be had there. And what I actually did was I simply started firing arrows before I'd put my feet on the ground, before I tightened my bow up. And sometimes that's what we need to do, because if you can be prepared for what's likely coming, you can't forecast in business effectively and expect it to be perfect and happen that way. The current scenario in terms of the pandemic that we're going through and others will go through in the future, show that things can be shaken up very quickly. And yet a little bit of planning, a little bit of preparation, and just a little bit of foresight to think, what might I need to do differently? Because that question is incredibly powerful, because we're so used to being like, what am I going to do again? How am I going to make this happen again? In fact, just take a breath and say, what am I going to do differently?
I love that. I think that's the perfect lesson for so many things in life, with anything. And I think we often think that when we have a failure, okay, what am I going to do differently that will help me have success in the future? But then when you do that on things that you've done successfully, right? Okay, so that worked, but next time, what am I going to do differently? Not because it failed, but because next time won't be the same. I think that's fantastic. And of course, we finish each episode with that one bulb, that one idea, that 1,000th try that worked. So feel free, Lee, to brag a little bit. Tell us what's working for you and where can people find you?
Yeah, so what's actually worked for me in recent times is actually reflecting on past failures and removing the emotion, because it's never you that's failed. It's a process or a scenario that's failed. But there's amazing treasure in every failure, because what happens is when you actually dissect it and take the emotion away, you find a big chunk of what not to do again. A little sliver of, actually, yeah, that's probably something I want to take forward. In every failure, there's a tiny bit of treasure, something that you can actually take with you. And it's an incredibly useful, you know, recalibrating, balancing little pebble to carry around in your pocket, because it just gives you that, you know, that little bit of something. I like to almost say, like, there's lots of oysters in the sea. Most of them get eaten at the seafood restaurant. A few get really badly attacked by parasites and the defenses fail. And all of a sudden, they've been invaded. A parasite has attacked it and made it uncomfortable, irritated, and highly annoyed. It's those oysters that create pearls, because it's that irritation, that failure, that bit of treasure in the challenge, in the difficulty, in the thing that failed and didn't go to plan, where you get that little pearl, that little bit of treasure.
I love that. I love that. And where is it that people can find you and the work that you do?
Yep. So if people want to find a little bit more, they can go to www.essentialize.co.uk or leechambers.org, and they can see my blog, the work that I do, and my socials on those websites.
That's fantastic. Lee Chambers, thank you very much for joining me.
Pleasure, Alex.
And thank you for listening. Special thank you to Lee Chambers for joining me and being willing to talk about his broken bulbs. Be sure to check out essentialize.co.uk for all of Lee's work. That'll be in the show notes. You can also leave us a review using the first link in the show notes. Broken Bulbs is a co-production of Williams Rutledge and Mecco Radio. And we are, of course, a proud member of the Createvine. I, Alex Williams, was your host, and the music in this episode was by Brian Claxton and Wesley Thomas. Oh, and thanks again for listening. Mecco.